good to be here today. Are you happy that you're saved?
Amen.
What a glorious Savior we have.
Amen.
Think about what He's done for us. He's taken away sin. He's justified us. He's satisfied the demands of God's justice. And He did it for us. Those whom He chose before the foundation of the world. We're here and we say, the Lord has saved us. But you know something? We're still here yet. I'm wearing hearing aids. I'm walking with a walker. This body is failing. There's something more yet.
Amen.
That Jesus
Amen.
Has done.
Amen.
And that is in our glorification. And that is a terrific subject.
Amen.
Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Romans chapter 8. And then Philippians chapter 3. Romans 8:28. Very familiar scripture to us, I'm sure. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We've just seen that in election, how God out there in eternity chose a people for His purpose. And for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many creatures, brethren, I mean. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and we've heard about this calling, the Holy Spirit, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now let's go over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, or in our understanding today, that word conversation means our manner of life, or really who we are, and we're citizens now of heaven. We don't belong to this world. Is from heaven. Is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. We aren't there yet, but our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Oh, the glory of God. We might ask ourselves the question this afternoon, what do you think about when you think of glory? Well, I dare say most of us really think about heaven. Or certainly some place that is full of splendor. I mean, something that is far beyond what we can think or imagine. I mean, it's something that transcends our highest thoughts. Certainly something beyond the ordinary. Maybe most of us in the Christian realm would think of heaven, and certainly that's, the older I get, that's the more I think about. Our mind really turns in that direction. There's nothing down here that attracts me anymore. Not really. Oh, I want something more than this. Don't you? And as we think about that, that's a glorious place, as we see in the Scriptures. As we look in the Scriptures, we just get a little glimpse. But that little glimpse we get, it's glorious. And what is it glorious? It's glorious because God is there.
Amen.
Have you seen God? Have you really seen God yet? I'll tell you what. You couldn't see Him in this body. None of us could see Him in this body. He's the Almighty One. He's the Creator of all things. And His name is Jesus Christ. If we're going to meditate on our glorification and think about we as God's people being in His presence, let's begin with thinking of this real meaning of glory. What does glory mean? Well, in the Greek, it has the thought of opinion. What is your opinion? What is my opinion? What do we think of? It has the thought of a good opinion concerning or opinion of one person, perhaps, or resulting, which results in our praise and honor. What is your opinion of God? Do you see Him as the glorious one? It means splendor, brightness. Oh, how bright. And to just give us a little thought about that, have you ever tried to look with your eyes at the sun shining? You can't do it. It will destroy your eyes. We have to get something to stop the rays from burning our eyes. That's just a little splendor. That don't even begin to cover it. Excuse me. Brightness, we think of the moon. In the night sky, we look up at a full moon out there shining. Kind of awesome, isn't it? The sun, the stars. Did you ever look at the stars on a clear night? What a splendor it is, lighting up the darkness. A magnificence, an excellence, a dignity, a grace. And certainly it's the thought of the glory that belongs only to Jesus Christ. We think of the kingly majesty. Even if you think of an earthly king and all his pomp and all the things that pertain to him and all his clothing he wears and all the regality that goes with it. And there's a certain glory there. It's a certain dignity and honor. And so it has the thought of something belonging to Christ, the Messiah. And it's the most glorious condition or the most exalted state. What's the highest state that you can think of? In that condition with God the Father in heaven, to which Christ was raised after he achieved his work on this earth. He arose and ascended back to heaven to take that glory that he had before he came down. And certainly that's a glorious condition. And really, isn't that what we're looking for? Is that glorious condition that we will have one day? And what's so wonderful about it is we have a complete salvation. Just one thing that we're waiting for yet. Just one thing. And that's a new body. Just think about the glory of God. His glory is eternal. He's always been glorious. He always will be glorious. His glory is eternal. His splendor has always been. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory. His glory is eternal. Not only is his glory eternal, but he's called the God of glory. He is the God of glory. If there's going to be any glory, he's it. No one else. Only God. Psalm 29:3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The God, the Lord, is upon many waters. Acts 7:2. And he said, men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Sharon. So God is glorious. He's the God of glory. Thinking of God, his attributes are glorious. Is there anything more glorious than his power? Can you think of anything more glorious than God's power? His omniscience is glorious. Think of it. He knows everything. There isn't anything he does not know. And we don't know anything apart from him. He's all-knowing. He's glorious in his omniscience. He's glorious in his omnipresence. Is there any place that you can go that God is not there? Think of it. It's glorious. His sovereignty is glorious. He's sovereign completely. He rules over all things. He rules over wicked men. He has his way with wicked men. He can restrain wicked men. He's glorious in his sovereignty. Not only that, his glory is unapproachable by man. Think of it. His glory is unapproachable by man. People have wanted to see God. I dare say we've all desired to see God. Moses wanted to see him. Moses was a friend of God, and he wanted to see God. In Exodus 33:18, you might want to read it. And he said, and he's talking to God, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. We have to be in that cleft of the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, and I will cover thee with my hand, and I will pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not see. No man is going to look upon God's face. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. That's God's glory. Let's think a little bit about man's glory. Do men have glory? Well, they have a certain measure of glory. Probably our president thinks he's got a lot of glory. Man's glory is only temporary, at the most. Men rise to prominence. They rise to where people think a lot of them. A lot of sports people get a certain amount of glory. They certainly rise to what they think is a higher level than somebody else. A lot of people hate the rich. They think they're quite glorious, have a certain amount of glory. I don't certainly envy the rich. Knowing that, I believe we have to have the rich. I believe it's good that people rise to prominence of riches. But that glory is only temporal. Psalms 49:16. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory, now we got the word here, glory, when the glory of his house is increased. See, you look at this rich man's home, and my, $2 or $3 million or more. Whoa, what a house. Can you imagine a house like that? For when he dieth, when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. You get praise to yourself. People will praise you. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. What glory do you seek? What glory do you want? Man cannot attain unto God's glory. Why can't man attain to God's glory? We've seen it already. And what we've heard already today. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. Now, we've already heard how Jesus Christ came. And he satisfied the justice of God by shedding his own blood there on Calvary's cross. He obtained our justification and our being set apart by that work on the cross. But we've seen in Romans chapter 8 that there's one more thing. And that's glorification. As we think about this, verse 30 in that text said, and he glorified them. This is all planned of God.
Amen.
And it was purposed before the world began. And it's a complete package.
Amen.
There's one thing that happens to us today, and it's been happening since time began. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. Did we get that? Till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou return. We all die. Physically, this soul and spirit, man is three parts, soul, spirit, and body. That is the complete person. That makes up a human being. Our salvation involves the soul, the spirit, and the body. But we're told that the body was to go back to the ground from whence it came. And our complete package of salvation, there's the salvation of the soul, spirit, and there's a body involved.
Amen.
And we're going to be complete. We're not complete yet. But in God's sight, we are complete. This complete package involves a new birth. We become a new person in Christ Jesus. There's a new kingdom also. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. We came into that kingdom in darkness. We came into this world in darkness. kingdom of darkness. But in the new birth, we've been taken out of that kingdom of darkness and we've been put into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Amen.
We're in a new kingdom now. We have a new master. Jesus Christ becomes our Lord. He becomes our Lord. We have a new walk. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new walk. We have a new home. Heaven is our home. While we're down here, we're just ambassadors. This isn't our home. We're just ambassadors down here. We're just sojourners down here. But there's something more. There's a consummation or the completeness of that, and that's a new body. So it's through God's plan that we're glorified. We are now glorified. We certainly aren't what we were before. We're new creatures. We're glorified now. We really are. And we're being glorified. But there's a final glorification. And we must have a new body. It's absolutely necessary. Because we've already seen that we could not see God in this flesh. No way possible. And without this new body, we could not be in His presence. We cannot enter heaven in this body. Jesus accomplished our glorification in the resurrection. We've seen His death on the cross, taking care of our sin questions, making it possible. But our glorification of our body is made possible in the resurrection. That's how it takes place. It's in His death that He wrought our redemption. It's in His resurrection that He won the victory over death and wrought our glorification. We believe in a bodily resurrection. It's a new body. The need. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed there about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. I like that. But he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned unto the sepulchre, and told all these, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the leaven, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told them these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these? Are those that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to the condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said unto that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ or the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it. Now notice here. He took bread, and he blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now he appeared to them, and he took bread. He handled bread, and he gave it to them. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, and by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. I'm reading rather a lengthy account here because I want us to see that this is a bodily resurrection. And it's important. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And they were terrified. Can you imagine? They were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Now notice, flesh and bones. The resurrected Christ had flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Notice that. He ate before them. And he said to them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Jesus appears to them in a resurrection body. It's a new body. But it is the same body in appearance. He came and what things then do we see? Well, the appearance of the body that he came in. It was Jesus that they knew. He was able to appear and disappear. This body is different. He was able to appear and disappear. But it was flesh and bones. And he ate before them. But something more than that. This body was different. And then that it cannot die anymore. It's new. Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. For death hath no more dominion over him. He died once for sin. And he arose in a new body. And that body would die no more. Let's think about the manner of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, yet may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it is pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There is also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial, now here we got the word glory being used again. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Notice, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. When our body dies, it goes into the grave and it rots. And it decays. And it goes back to the earth. But it's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that which was first was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. And we've seen in Genesis, after man sinned, that his body was going to go back to the earth. He was of the earth. We are of the earth, earthy. Our body is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they that are also of the heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We are going to have a new body, and it's going to be like the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He obtained it for us in the resurrection. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither the corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Maybe today. Even yet today.
Yes.
Maybe today Jesus will come to receive his own. In other words, we may not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That change must take place. It has to take place. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
And praise God, Jesus accomplished that victory for us.
Amen.
O grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
Our body is going to be like the Lord's. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. This body is going to be changed This old vile body that we're living in is going to be changed, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. It's a glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to have to close here. Behold, just behold. Think on it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Behold, now are we the sons of God. Excuse me. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath that, hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, are you looking for Jesus? I am. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. It will be glory with Him. I know my time is gone. I have a song I can't sing, but I want us to hear this song. Oh, that will be glory. When all my labors and trials are over, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am recorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river shall around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. Will it be glory for you? Do you know Him as your own personal Savior? Has He done all this for you?